What's going on, everybody? Welcome to episode 6 of the Mission Control Podcast. This is the NBA edition. I'm your host for this episode, Taylor Pate. You can follow me on Twitter at Taylor L. Pate, and be sure to follow Apollo Media at Apollo HOU and visit our website at apollohou.com. Tonight, we're going to be talking everything Rockets with a special guest. And so without further ado, let's get into the discussion. All right. Welcome, welcome, welcome. I'd like to introduce our first guest to the show, Mr. Roosh Williams. Roosh, how are we doing tonight?
Doing all right, man. How about yourself?
Doing really well. Happy to have NBA basketball back.
Very much so.
Roosh is one of the more well-known, outspoken Rockets Twitter members, and he's very knowledgeable about the NBA in general. So I wanted to get him on here and kind of kick off the restart of the NBA season. Roosh, what are you most excited to see from the Rockets coming up?
Most excited to see just if the new pieces fit the way that I hope they fit, and not even that, I guess. We always see quotes that Mike D'Antoni says, you know, X or Y or Z or whatever, implementing new sets into the offense, or Isaiah Hartenstein earned his minutes or whatever it is. And then we kind of see him fail to back that up sometimes. And so I think most recently he's been talking about implementing like a new set into the offense. And I think they said something about the defense that they're excited about. So I just want to see if it comes to fruition on the court. That's kind of what I'm most excited about, because we know what we're going to get with Harden and Russ and everyone else. But it's those pieces at the margins that, you know, are going to make or break you when it comes down to the playoff series.
Yeah, absolutely. And the Rockets obviously have taken on kind of a brand new identity midway through the season. We got, about a dozen games of sample size of small ball. What's your thoughts on small ball? Do you approve, disapprove? Where do you stand?
Yeah, I'm fine with it. I mean, I think basketball has been this way for a long time. It's just that the Rockets are now like going full throttle with it, you know, start to finish. And so I guess that's kind of like the different wrinkle. But I'm with it, man. It works. I mean, I watch a lot of tape. I don't think that they get beat because they're small. I think they get beat for other reasons. I mean, I'm on board with small ball for now, at least, you know. I don't think it would hurt to add maybe like someone who's 6'10", 6'11", with long wingspan that can get up and jump. But I think for this postseason run, Jeff Green's ability, he's 6'9", he's got, you know, good wingspan. He's got great springs. So I think he can play that like lob catching center pick and roll kind of piece for now.
Yeah, you mentioned Jeff Green and a couple of other additions. Robert Covington, obviously we got to see a little bit of him and averaging, you know, over 2 blocks a game, being a monster down low. Luke Richard and Bamute also landed in Orlando today. What do you think about these pieces, and do you think that that these are the types of pieces that can kind of cement what we kind of saw in 2017 and 18 with the Rockets playing smaller? Do you think those guys are suitable for those roles?
Yes, absolutely. Robert Covington is, you know, everything that I think the Rockets and the Rockets fans have wanted. You know, 6'7", long arms, good defender, hits the three, versatile. Like you said, he can block shots. Like, I mean, he can really do a lot on the defensive end. And then I'm not banking on Mbappe being what he was. I think it would be a plus if he was, if he could replicate some of the things he did in the 17 to 18 season. But I love the addition. I love like the thought process, you know, in adding him. I think DeMar Carroll has potential to be a huge piece for the Rockets. I think I catch some flack on this on Twitter, because I'm like boosting DeMar so much. But I mean, I really think he could be like a Trevor Ariza type piece. Not that he is Trevor Ariza, but he's a high IQ, heady veteran on defense. He can hit threes. I mean, if you look in 2017, 2018, I think he dropped like 13-4 and like three or something like that, shooting like 37-38% from three. And that's, he's 6'6", 6'7", good wingspan. Like, that's exactly what Ariza was for the Rockets. So I hope that he gets a chance to kind of show what he can do, because his playing time was really sporadic and inconsistent after we signed him right before, you know, the season paused. But, yeah, man, Robert Covington, DeMar Carroll, you put them alongside guys like Daniel House, Lukumba Mute. I feel like there's one person that I'm missing. Who's the 3-and-D wing that I'm missing? Oh, PJ Tucker, of course.
Oh, yeah. good old PJ. We seem to forget about our center, right? Because he's not really a wing anymore. He's kind of all over the place now. And you know, I think those guys, they're all very similar in stature. They do a lot of the same things. They're very interchangeable. How do you feel that affects D'Antoni's ability to call a game? Do you think that it gives him more or less ability? And how do you feel about his game plans overall?
You know, theoretically, I think it makes it easier for him. But, you know, I mean, a lot of what the Rockets do, and I really can't speak to whether it's D'Antoni or whether it's just James Harden, you know, who kind of ignores, like, set plays and just does his own thing. But I've been watching a lot of tape lately, and the Rockets just waste so much time dribbling the ball. And they kind of do it, like, in a static way. You'll see there's a lot of times where teams will scramble the Rockets with off-ball movement. And on the other end of the floor, you'll just see the Rockets kind of standing flat-footed, just waiting. And Harden will dribble and dribble, and then he'll make a move with, like, 7 or 8 seconds left. And, you know, so what do I think about his play calling? I don't know. Like, I know that he's got sets, and I know that we see different wrinkles here and there. But like I said, I don't know if it's D'Antoni who is directing Harden to do this, or if it's Harden who does it on his own, or if they're just both on the same page in that regard. But I don't like the way that they conduct the offense. I think there's a lot of good that is, you know, inherent in what they do. Obviously, threes and layups, penetration, kick. But I think they miss a lot. They just miss out on a lot of potential because they don't use guys that have length and athleticism to get them moving toward the basket, unless it's like a handful of select plays. And it always revolves around the ball, right? You don't see guys getting other guys open off the ball. You know, sometimes in basketball, you'll have a play that opens up another player two passes down the line. And the Rockets don't really do that. The Rockets open up plays for one pass, you know, single pass, boom. You know, you'll have like a screen set for Eric Gordon. They'll wrinkle around, go catch, shoot. You'll have someone set a pick or someone crash to the basket for the alley-oop to catch, you know, and all that stuff's cool. But I think the Rockets have so much talent with Westbrook and Harden, and they have enough decent shooters, and they have some pretty damn good athleticism that if they really got creative off the ball, I think they could open up those types of plays that have people open two passes down the line. And when you do that, you start forcing the defense to make mistakes and to try to anticipate and guess. And they make mistakes. But right now, if you really sit down and like kind of watch plays and like rewind and rewatch the same play over several times, you'll see like the defense is just waiting. Sometimes there's nothing they can do because the Rockets are so good. Sometimes they get broken down because what we do works. But fundamentally speaking, they're just waiting because they know it's coming. And I just don't think it's smart for every play, four quarters, to just tell the defense, hey, this is what we're going to do, try and stop it. I just don't think that's smart overall.
Yeah, so. And I think that's a big reason that they moved away from Clint Capela. I think that they saw a lot of stagnation within both on the offense and the defense. And so what they've kind of done now is they've started playing this hyper aggressive defense, and they're trying to get out on as many fast breaks as they can, and really trying to skip those sets and those predictable moves that you were mentioning. How do you feel about their chances in the postseason, and what are your expectations for them?
Real quick, I'm glad you mentioned the focus on transition. I think that's – I know a lot of Rockets fans are, like, excited about that. Personally, I'm not at all, because I don't think the postseason is conducive to transition basketball. Like, obviously, it's going to have an effect. But I think the Rockets' biggest flaw has always been down the stretch, late in games. They're predictable. Everyone knows it's going to be a Harden step back or a Harden drive. Hopefully you get the whistle. And that's kind of the thing. Like, transition is not going to save you in those circumstances. So that's why I'd really like to see them get more creative, so that when it really comes down to the juncture where they need a basket, it's not so predictable. As far as the postseason, I've been saying this all year pretty much. They could win it all, and they could get bounced in the first round. It really depends on how they defend. You know, they went, I forget what their record was. I think they were like 10-1 or something like that. 12-1, or I don't know, something. They, starting with when they beat the Mavericks in late January, the first game, they went small up until that 1-4 skid to end the season before things paused. So if you don't count those last five games, they looked great. They were playing really good defense. They were like on a rope. They were a unit. The switching was working because they were communicating, and it just looked good. And then those last five games, everything broke down. And it's really weird. It's really weird. I posted a video today on Twitter showing kind of some examples of them breaking down on defense. And, you know, they switch everything. And it's honestly, it's what they do on offense, right? On offense, they tell you, hey, we're going to shoot threes, get layups, or run a pick. On defense, they tell you, hey, we're going to switch everything. And so when you tell the other team what you're doing, they can then attack you in ways that they previously may not have been able to. And so when you watch, like I posted a lot of clips from the Knicks game, you just see the Knicks taking advantage of the fact that the Rockets are auto-switching with flip screens, with like 7'1" Mitchell Robinson. And they take advantage of it frequently. And you'll see the Rockets break down many times because their switching is not, they're not on the same page, right? If you're going to switch, you have to communicate. And second, you have to identify who you're switching on and off to, right? So for example, in this game I'm talking about, there's several examples where guys like Elfrid Payton and RJ Barrett are handling the ball. Neither of these guys are pull-up threats from deep, right? I think you'll take your chances if either of them are going to pull up off the screen and shoot from three. But there's numerous examples in that clip I posted where these guys are running a pick and roll with Mitchell Robinson. He slips the screen, boom, alley-oop. And there's no reason for anyone to switch. There's no reason to switch PJ Tucker on Elfrid Payton, right? There's no reason to switch off of RJ Barrett because you can go under the screen and you can prevent Mitchell Robinson from taking advantage of your auto switch by not switching, right? And so my point is, what version of those Rockets are we going to get, right? Because when we're in the postseason, are we getting like the aloof, unaware, switch everything just to switch, just for the sake of switching Rockets? Because they're going to get beat if they do that against the right team, especially against the Clippers. Alternatively, are we going to have the right guys playing? You know, are you going to play DeMar Carroll? Is he going to play next to Robert Covington, PJ Tucker? Because then that becomes a different story. So I think they have the talent. I think they now have the depth as well, and just the sheer like firepower and star power to go all the way, especially depending on the matchups, because I think they match up really well with the Lakers, specifically given that Avery Bradley and now Rondo are out. The Lakers are so thin at guard. So I think they could go all the way, but on the flip side of that, like they could run into Denver in the first round, and you know, Denver might be a nightmare matchup because Denver's big, they got Jokic, they're going to force doubles, and they got shooters and athletes. So like it's kind of the Rockets nightmare. You could run into the Thunder. The Thunder might give you a run. I think people are underrating how good the Thunder are, and Andre Roberson might be back. And not to say that he's going to be fully healthy or even playable, but if he is, he can guard Harden. He's one of the few that can really guard Harden. You know, so who are they going to run into? Are they going to run into the Clippers? Because they don't match up well with the Clippers. And if they do run into the Clippers, do they have the counters? Because I watched the last meeting with the Clippers. And they were outmatched, man. They didn't look good. They looked like on paper and in practice, they were severely outmatched. So it's all about matchups, and it's all about which version of the Rockets we get. So yeah, could go all the way. Could get bounced in first round.
Yeah, and such is life with a new style of basketball that's not too popular currently. Although we do see some other teams around the league kind of starting to adopt some of the same principles. Boston, a little bit of Milwaukee. I certainly think that the Rockets have, like you said, the talent. They have the depth. I definitely agree there. They've added enough pieces that if somebody were to go down, for instance, Thabo Sefolosha not participating in the bubble, well, look, now you've got Lukumba Mute. And again, guys that you can just plug into those same exact spots. So I certainly agree there. I think what we see a lot is on the perimeter, you'll have James Harden or Russell Westbrook have a mental lapse and either make the wrong switch or switch at the wrong time. You'll see PJ Tucker get very, very visibly frustrated when guys are making the wrong switches. Ideally, having the right guys in there, having some more time together, all the, you know, all this time laid off that they've been able to watch film and stuff like that. Ideally, that would help fix some of those principles that they're kind of lacking in currently. But I certainly agree with you that they could make it all the way and they could get bounced in the first round.
Yeah, I mean, I wanted to add to what you're saying about Harden and Westbrook specifically. That's kind of the issue, right? When you're switching everything, everyone is so codependent and reliant on their teammates. It's not like you're fighting through screens, like, nah, don't worry, I got it. You know, it's not that kind of deal. You have to be a unit. And Harden and Westbrook, a lot of times, like, if you're not locked in and if you're not paying attention to who you're switching on to, and if you're not paying attention to, like, for example, you'll see an example of a clip in that video that I tweeted that I was talking about, where the Knicks kind of do like a three-man weave at the top of the key, and then it results in Westbrook getting switched onto RJ Barrett, and he just kind of like half-assedly, flat-footedly, not in like a firm defensive stance, kind of steps up and picks up RJ Barrett while he's moving with the ball off the switch at the three-point line. And there's no need for him to do that. Anyone, if you know the game, which obviously Russell Westbrook does, if you know, then you know, like, you don't need to do that to RJ Barrett. You can give him just enough of a cushion, you know, because his strength is going to be to bully you down and try to get low and try to drive by you or try to get down and pull up for, you know, a floater or a midi or something like that. But obviously Westbrook's not locked in that moment, and he's just kind of going through the motions, and Harden does the same thing. There's clips in that video where Harden just doubles. There's two, I think maybe three clips where he doubles. There's two clips for sure where he doubles for absolutely no reason. And by doubling, he creates a wide open lane. One clip is PJ Tucker's guarding Julius Randle in the post. There's like 6 seconds left on the shot clock. Harden just doubles, like, just to do it. You know, he has no purpose or intent. He just doubles, loses his man. It's Mo Harkless. Excuse me. And Mo Harkless just cuts to the basket for, I mean, a dump and like an uncontested dunk. And Harden created that space by doubling, and there was no need to double. And on another clip, it's against the Clippers. Eric Gordon is holding Kawhi on the wing. He's not giving up an inch. He's playing good defense. Kawhi's about to have to take one of those, like, tough turnarounds that he can hit, but still a tough shot. And then Harden just doubles. No reason. There's like 7 or 8 seconds left, I think, on the shot clock. He just doubles just to do it. No intent, no purpose. Not like a, you know, not like a fake double, fake hard double, and then go back to his man. He's not reading his man off the ball. He just kind of floats over for no reason. His man is Lou Williams. Lou Williams does the exact same thing Mo Harkless did, just from a different spot on the floor. He goes straight to the basket. Kawhi dumps it to him. PJ steps up, leaves Montrezl Harrell wide open on the baseline in the dunker spot, and it's 2 points for no reason. And they do this repeatedly. And that is the issue. That's the biggest issue to me. That, you know, you're right, like, ideally they're going to figure that out when they watch film, but those are habits, man. It's just like it's the habit of being unaware. So that's what scares
absolutely me. And in the past, the big argument, I guess, has been, oh, Harden's out of steam, he's, you know, been carrying all this weight for this, you know, 82 game season, and then when he gets to the playoffs, he just runs out of steam. Obviously fatigue will be a lot less of a factor with this shortened season and as we head into the postseason. So, you know, hopefully that can mitigate some of the lapses that we've seen previously. Roosh, thank you very much for coming on. You can follow Roosh on Twitter at Roosh Williams, R-O-O-S-H. Roosh, I really appreciate you coming on, man.
Hey, man, thanks for having me. Good talking. I appreciate it. And go Rockets.
Absolutely. We'll have you on again soon.
All right, man. Sounds good.
Thanks.